Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick. With me is David Smith, the Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute.
Hello.
And we are joined by Jill Stanek. She is the campaign chair for the Susan B. Anthony List. And in that role, she travels the country to advance the pro-life cause. And now that she has made her way to the IFI studio, I say that in quotes, Jill and I go back a couple of years, all the way back when she exposed the live birth abortion scandal at Christ Hospital in Oak Lawn. Jill, you took a stand and it cost you your job.
I discovered that the hospital was leaving abortion survivors to die in the soiled utility room, and I held an abortion survivor, and that was life-changing.
Little babies.
Yes.
For how long did that baby that you held?
He was a 21-weeker with Down syndrome. That's why he'd been aborted, and I held him for 45 minutes, and that just changed me into a pro-life activist.
And to think that this hospital calls itself Christ Hospital.
Yep. Deeply troubling.
That's, I think, why I stayed there for 2 years after I went public, because of the name of the hospital. And it was just so blasphemous what was going on inside there. And, of course, that all led to me encountering then-no-name State Senator Barack Obama, who vetoed legislation that had been presented to protect these abortion survivors four times. And not only vetoed it, but he said that voted against it, but he said that giving these born babies, now we're not talking preborn babies, but giving these abortion survivors the same rights as full-term born babies would lead to the overturn of Roe v. Wade, and that's why he opposed it.
In fact, he refused to call it, if I remember correctly, in a Senate committee. I think Pat O'Malley,
right.
State Senator Pat O'Malley, took him to task on this. He refused to call the baby anything other than fetus, even though the child was born.
Right.
Isn't that sad?
That was common then when the news would report on what was going on in Illinois. I remember the AP calling them born fetuses, and that's just not even scientifically correct. But, yeah, it, again, dehumanizes the baby as long as they possibly can.
So did that legislation eventually pass?
It did. It passed when State Senator Barack Obama became a U.S. senator and couldn't block it anymore. And the fourth time that he voted against the bill, it was identically worded as a federal version that passed 97-0.
97-0.
In the U.S. Senate. And Senators Kennedy and Clinton and Boxer and Biden, you know, the most notorious pro-abortion senators, understood. They understood that what we were talking about now was just a point too far, that even though they secretly might have wanted to support infanticide, they just couldn't. But Obama went further to the left.
So what does that tell you about where he is politically on the left? I mean, he is far out on the left wing.
It can be assuredly said that he is the most pro-abortion president we've ever had, even going further than Bill Clinton, who opposed the partial birth abortion ban. Barack Obama supported infanticide in order to keep abortion legal.
Amazing.
But come January, there's going to be a new sheriff in town.
Yes.
In the name of Donald Trump. You know, he says he's pro-life now. He's surrounded himself with some good pro-life people.
So far, so good.
Yes.
What do you think?
We at Susan B. Anthony List were very excited when he won. And it's, you know, that night I was in Washington, D.C. in the office and,
watching the returns.
I think we had the same reaction as everybody did who I've talked to.
Kind of shocked?
At first, it did not look good. And then as the tables turned in Florida, 8:30 or 9 o'clock, it started to look better. And he won. And we are very happy because he has made four pro-life pledges. And if he follows through on those pledges, he will be the most pro-life president we've ever had.
Can you tell us what those four promises are quickly?
That he will only nominate pro-life Supreme Court justices, and he has released a list already that was put together by the Federalist Society and the Heritage Foundation.
Right.
So there's that, and then he would vote to defund Planned Parenthood. He would vote to codify the Hyde Amendment into law.
Codify, right. Yeah, okay.
Into permanent law. And then he would vote for the Paying Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which would protect babies from abortion 20 weeks and older.
And the Hyde Amendment
bans
taxpayer funding of abortions.
Right.
And right now it has to be renewed every, 2 years?
Every year.
Every year it has to be renewed. So the codifying, when you say codify, that means make permanent in law.
Yes.
Not this political game that we have to have every single year.
Right.
Which could easily change with the makeup of Congress, you know, that you know, from year to year that could happen.
And it's funny because here in Illinois, we're fighting a bill and House Bill 4013, which is sponsored by Sarah Feigenholz, a Democrat from the north side of the city of Chicago, who wants to use taxpayer funding for Medicaid patients and state employees' insurance plans to increase the number of abortions in Illinois. We already have 40,000 annually plus abortions. This would increase it by
– It's just not enough, Dave.
It's – well, not for the left, not for those who want to see more children. Oh, man, I can't even think about that. Another 15,000 children, unborn children being aborted every year. Pretty sad.
And we're horrified by that in Illinois, but actually that's a stand that the National Democrat Party took in wanting to overturn the Hyde Amendment in their platform, and Hillary Clinton stood for that. So it's not as if we are crazy liberal here in Illinois. The Democrat Party in general has become crazy liberal.
That's right.
You know, I go to a men's Bible study, and we kind of got into this, and I pointed out to some of the guys who were not Donald Trump fans that Hillary Clinton wanted taxpayers to pay for abortions through all 9 months for any reason.
Right.
And there's no limits. You could have one, two, three, four taxpayer-funded abortions. And I pointed out, you look at your paycheck. How much of that paycheck you get every week, every month, do you want to have taken out for abortions? And, you know, got some looks.
Well, you're talking about not being a fan of Donald Trump, and I'll just be honest. I wasn't a huge fan until the third debate when he pushed back against Hillary Clinton, and I'm still not a big fan, but, you know, he won me over when he pushed back and talked to her and called partial birth abortion, or late-term abortion, I should say, wicked and evil and wrong. I mean, he used those words.
And he described tearing a baby limb from limb.
And that's when it hit me, Jill. I said, wow, he gets it.
You know, we view him, and he has acknowledged that he is a pro-life convert. And we three are very—
As am I.
But we have been in the pro-life movement for a long time, and congratulations on that too, Monty. And I think then you can identify a little with him. He's new to this. He does not know our language. He doesn't know the ins and outs. He just knows that he's pro-life, and we have to give him a break. And I think how many pro-life legislators have converted to pro-abortion and been welcomed in?
Yeah, right.
And we have to. We're Christians. We have to treat these people better than we do.
Well, obviously he's learned, and he's got good people around him, like Mike Pence, who are obviously telling him exactly what abortion is because he got it. You can tell graphically he understood what abortion is.
One of our goals during the campaign also was to get him to repeat these pledges as often as we possibly could. Oh. And so he has done that. He wrote a letter to pro-life leaders in September of 2016 outlining them again. And he is surrounded with good people like Governor Pence, who was the first congressman ever to introduce legislation to defund Planned Parenthood, Kellyanne Conway, who's a dyed-in-the-wool pro-lifer. Reince Priebus is a wonderful pro-lifer.
Good.
So we're
good.
Confident going forward.
Now, speaking of taxpayer money and executive orders real quick, I just have to – one of the things that President Obama did when he came into office was to overturn or to reinstate the Mexico City policy. What is it, overturn or instate? I can't remember. Anyway, what
he
it does –
He overturned it.
He
blocked it.
He blocked it. So in other words, we are now sending our tax dollars around the world to perform abortions, right?
Promote abortions.
To promote abortions.
Right.
And so President Trump, when he comes in, can use his pen.
The power of the pen.
The power of the pen and maybe a phone call. I don't know. He's got a phone and a pen, and maybe he will reinstate this. What do you think?
He hasn't said exactly that he would do that, but that is on our list of items that we would like him to address is reinstating the Mexico City policy.
I'm sure that's one of many.
We have a list of six or seven if you want me to.
Yeah, let's hear them.
We want him to amend the Title X rules to freeze out abortion businesses, i.e. the biggest being Planned Parenthood.
Okay. That would effectively defund Planned Parenthood?
It would defund 15% of Planned Parenthood, and we'll get into either this segment or the next on the major defunding, which would be through the reconciliation process, which would defund them by 85%.
Wow, okay.
But it would, $150 million, that's nothing to sneeze at.
Right.
And we are hoping that he will sign an executive order for easy opt-out of the HHS contraceptive abortion mandate.
Yep.
You know, the little sisters of the poor being forced right now to cover. Right, and we would try to overturn that. Enforce the Weldon Amendment to protect health professionals from being forced to be involved in abortions.
Okay.
Enforcing born alive protections, you know, getting back to what we were talking about when we started.
Because they're still going on.
Yes, and no organization or person has ever been prosecuted, even though the Born Alive Infants Protection Act passed in 2001. So investigating the abortion industry, ending the use of selling baby parts.
Yes.
And redirecting embryonic stem cell experimentation into adult stem cell research. That's our wish list.
And the embryonic stem cell stuff, the research, hasn't panned out anything. It's
no,
all
not
been
at
adult
all.
Stem cells that have produced treatments and maybe even cures?
Oh, definitely okay. Cures for decades. And every day the list grows longer.
Well, people should know Jill is also a former nurse. That's why you're working at mm-hmm. Christ Hospital. While she was called by Keith Olbermann one of the worst people in the world, she is one of our favorite non-politician pro-lifers, leaders in this country.
We'll continue our conversation with Jill Stanek from the Susan B. Anthony List right after this.
Hi, this is Kurt Jarrus, the host of Veracity Hill. Veracity Hill is a radio podcast dedicated to striving for truth on faith, politics, and society. I don't have all the answers, but join me as I explore important topics with guests from respective fields. To learn more, text the word VERACITY to 555-888. That's VERACITY to the number 555-888, or check out our website at veracityhill.com.
Americans have been traveling down the health insurance highway for decades. But lately, it's been taking us to places we don't want to go. For Christians, it's hard to know which road to take. Or is it? Samaritan Ministries provides a different direction, a biblical path for their members to pray for each other and share financially in each other's medical needs.
This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing. We, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This is what God intended for the church.
Do you believe that you need an insurance company, or do you believe that God will provide your needs? And there are people that you've never met before who are going to pray for you and meet your needs. There's another way.
Looking for a new direction for your health care? Visit us online at SamaritanMinistries.org.
Well, thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, with me David Smith, with IFI also, and Jill Stanek, the campaign chair for the Susan B. Anthony List. Jill was the nurse who blew the whistle on Christ Hospital in Oak Lawn that were allowing live birth abortions to take place, and she blew the whistle on that. Susan B. Anthony List works to pass pro-life legislation and elect pro-life leaders of office with a focus on women. Tell us about that.
Well, I think you just nailed it very well. But when Emily's List started in the late 1980s, its focus was to elect pro-abortion Democrat women, and they started to see a lot of success. So in 1992, our CEO, Marjorie Dannenfelser, launched our group with the opposite plan, but not just electing pro-life Republican women, but pro-life pro-life women and as an accent, but we will, of course, support pro-life men too.
And in the last 25 years, have you seen an increase of pro-lifers in
yeah.
the United States Congress?
Oh, my goodness.
I know the answer to this, but yes.
Yes, we have. I can't give you the numbers of, you know, pro-life women gains, but there have been substantial gains. And, of course, we now have a pro-life-controlled House and Senate.
Praise God.
Well, what's that mean? What exactly does that mean? How much does that help you guys?
Well, it helps. I mean, if we had pro-abortion in any of those three branches, our stuff could get blocked and there's a chance that their stuff could get passed, the other side's stuff. But as it stands right now, we have a great opportunity to see amazing successes both next year
right.
and especially during President Trump's first 100 days and then into 2018 as well.
So let's talk about that a little bit. We've got a pro-life Senate, we've got a pro-life House, and we've got a incoming pro-life president. What do you think can be done in the next, like you said, 100 days to the first year?
Yeah, and it's not necessarily what I think can be done. It's what they've said they're going to do.
Okay.
And the plan now is to introduce a bill as soon as January 3rd when the new Congress convenes that would defund Planned Parenthood and repeal
yeah.
Obamacare.
Yes.
And that President Trump would sign it on or around his inauguration on January 20th, and it would be the first piece of legislation that he would sign. That's boom, right off the bat.
So tell me why Obamacare is a pro-life or repealing Obamacare, okay? Why is that pro-life? Why is that a concern of pro-lifers?
We always knew that abortion was included in Obamacare, never mind that supposed executive order he signed that got the pro-life Democrats to come on board with Obamacare. But we know now that it has come to pass. And so, for instance, there are several insurance plans around the states that only pay for insurance. You can't get insurance coverage from a company that doesn't cover abortion, too, if you're morally opposed to it.
Unbelievable.
And also, conscience protections aren't being protected, as we know from the Little Sisters of the Poor and him suing Hobby Lobby. And then we know that it's leading to rationing of health care and promotion of euthanasia and assisted suicide.
Yeah, you can't get the surgery because, well, we don't want to invest money in you. You're too old. Your lifespan is not great enough, right? That kind of a thing.
Right. The stats show you're going to die, you know, in 6 or 7 months anyway, so.
So is this part of the death panels that people were being, you know, Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann were being criticized for talking about when this was being promoted in the first place?
Right, and they were being maligned, and it has come to pass, and it is coming to pass, and overturning Obamacare will stop it.
Yep.
Jill, you mentioned assisted suicide, and Dave, we know that the assisted suicide folks, the
right.
pro-euthanasia folks, are going to make a big push for that
yeah,
here in Illinois.
They call it death with dignity. That's the tagline they're trying to push. And in Colorado, we saw this last election a referendum pass by a two to one margin, people saying, yes, we want physician-assisted suicide, not understanding what that really means for their parents, their grandparents, and even them as they grow older. What is this going to actually mean is pulling the plug on grandma earlier than what is necessary.
And they use words like compassion and, you know, and you think, well,
this is the right thing to do.
Well,
then you have also this situation where, no, Grandma, you can't get a hip replacement. You've only got another 5 years statistically of good life left. We're not investing in you. I mean, really? Really? I had a grandmother who had knee surgery. Both knees replaced, complete replaced. And this was back in the 90s when she was 82 and she lived another 3 years, but she was able to get around for those 3 years healthy and able to walk, and it was great. So anyway.
So overhauling Obamacare or doing away with it completely, repealing it is a big thing.
So what other legislation, though, too, are we looking at?
Well, I want to just briefly mention that The process that's going to be used, so people understand, is called reconciliation for defunding Planned Parenthood. And as I started to mention in the last section, this is going to defund Planned Parenthood to the tune of 89% of their federal funding. It's going to take away all their Medicaid funding, over $400 million.
Well, let's backtrack. What do you mean by reconciliation?
It's a complicated budget process that was used last year for the first time to pass this legislation in the Senate without having to undergo a filibuster. It only required a 51-vote margin to make it to President Obama's desk. And it was important that we pass it last year, even though we knew President Obama was going to veto it, because it had to go through the parliamentarian, because it'd never been done before, and the parliamentarian said, yes, you can do this. And if you can imagine them trying to go through with this legislative procedure now, this year, how much pressure would be on a parliamentarian that wasn't on last year for them to say, no, you can't do this, number one. And number two, it got a lot of all of our legislators on record. So we are sure that we have 51 votes. We have a 52-seat margin Republicans do in the Senate. Collins voted against it last time. Kirk did too, but he's gone.
He's gone.
So we have 51 votes. It's very close. But even if we would lose another vote and it got down to 50-50, we would still have
Vice President-elect
Pence. Right. He would be the one who
breaks the tie.
Right.
Fantastic.
So if you defund Planned Parenthood, you're talking some big dollars you're taking away from Planned Parenthood.
She said $400
million? $400 million, that's 89% of their budget.
Wow.
And the other 11% is discretionary budget funding that comes through Title 10, which President Trump can either sign by executive order to defund them, or when the House has a regular budget come through the next year in the fall, they can just line item out Planned Parenthood.
But you take away this federal money from Planned Parenthood, Planned Parenthood will still be around.
Yes, but it is going to gut Planned Parenthood as far as political action that it takes and legal action that it takes, because it is always one of the first organizations that sues. So take away, they make $1.2, $1.3 billion annually. Over $500 million is us total. That means if we take away half of their funding, we're going to be able, we'll take away not only their ability to commit abortions, but also their influence, which is important.
And we'll probably see more Planned Parenthood facilities, abortuaries, close down as a result, right?
Definitely.
If they're not making the money that they deem necessary to keep that place open, they're going to close, which means local lives saved, right?
Right, and I want to also mention that they're not just axing out this $400 million, they are reallocating that to federally qualified health centers. There are about 665 Planned Parenthoods nationwide, which isn't very many when you think about it, but there are over 13,500 community health centers that provide holistic care to women and their families, not just reproductive health care and abortions, but if you have high blood pressure, if you have diabetes, if your son has a cold, you can get health care at these
facilities.
And
they do breast exams.
And they do breast exams and they do mammograms, which Planned Parenthood doesn't do. The money would be reallocated to these facilities.
That's important, because we are bound to hear how this is the war on women. Talk to that a bit. Is there a war on women, Jill?
Well, by the other side, because over half of their abortions are on little girls, for sure. But then
Absolutely. We
also know of the devastation of abortion to acutely in the short term and death.
The
and then
spiritual,
in
the physical,
right.
The emotional damage it does to women who have abortions is second to none.
Right.
It's terrible.
Jill Stanek, how can folks connect with the Susan B. Anthony List?
Well, it's easy. You can just Google Susan B. Anthony List and our organization will pop up. And I just want to mention that we're the United States' largest pro-life political organization. And we are poised now, especially with the influence that we have with the Trump administration and with Congress, to really promote pro-life legislation and, of course, would welcome support.
And in 2018, you guys plan to be very active in electing even more pro-lifers to the U.S. Congress?
Yes. We have a short-term goal in 2017 of defunding Planned Parenthood and nominating at least one pro-life Supreme Court justice.
Yes.
But then we move in order to pass the Hyde Amendment into permanent law and the Pain Capable Act, we have to have 60 votes the way that the current Senate is structured.
Senate, yes.
So that's not going to happen. So we are working long term to hold a vote on those two pieces of legislation in late 2017, early 2018, in order to get senators on record, and then working in 2018 to defeat pro-abortion Democrat senators. And the map looks very bad for them.
But we need to say goodbye for now. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.